So we're beginning a new semester, and we're starting the Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Tzadi Gimel in the standard editions of the Ein Yaakov. And we're up to the last thin line. We're doing the ninth chapter of Brachos, of Talmud Tractate Brachos in the Ein Yaakov. And we're beginning with the quote, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Who was Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was an Amora. He was a rabbi during the period of the Talmud. We know there was a period of the Mishnah and then the period of the Talmud. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was during the period of the Talmud. He's called an Amora. And he was the great sage who outwitted the angel of death. He ended up entering the Garden of Eden alive. When he took his sword, it was the day that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was supposed to pass from the world. And God sent the angel of death and he said, grant him one wish. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, well, if I'm allowed one wish, I want to see where I'm headed. Go show me the Garden of Eden. Let me see my spot in the Garden of Eden. So the angel takes him to the wall by the Garden of Eden, and he said, I'm sorry, before the trip. So the angel of death says, fine, I'll take you for a tour. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, I'm scared of going with you when you have your sword on you. Who knows what you'll do to me? So give me your sword. Fine. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has the angel of death's sword, and they're going on a... He takes him off to the Garden of Eden. And he says, I can't go in, but I could pick you up to the wall and you could peek inside and see your spot. So he looks inside, he sees his spot, and he jumps in. So the angel of death grabs his cloak. So he's hanging there, he's dangling in the Garden of Eden, and the angel of death wants to pull him out, and he's already in. So the angel of death sends a plea, sends an argument up to heaven, and he says, can't let this guy get away with this. He outwitted me. I thought he just wanted a tour, but if he's going to walk in there, I can't take him out. So God said, check out Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Did he ever go back on his word? Did he ever take a vow and annul it? If he never went back on his word, then you can't take him back out of the Garden of Eden. They checked the records, and he never went back on his word. So that's it. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi gets into the Garden of Eden alive. But he has the angel of death's sword. So the angel of death is pleading, hey, give me back my sword. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, no. And we'll pick up here a different time. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, that's the great Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, such a great sage. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Haroed chaviro la'achar lamed yom. If one sees his friend after 30 days. So his friend, obviously, is someone that he likes. And 30 days is the period where we say there's rejuvenation. Meaning, we have certain blessings that we make over sightings. You see the Mediterranean, you make a blessing over the Mediterranean. You come to the Kotel, we're going to go Thursday night to the Kotel, so we have a custom that you tear your shirt when you come to the Kotel. When you come to the Western Wall, you tear your shirt in mourning over seeing the destroyed temple. Okay, if you don't want to tear your shirt, try to take an old shirt. I save my shirts that are destroyed whenever I have a shirt that my kids tear or stain. And I was just at the Kotel yesterday, so... just before I got there, I switched shirts to this destroyed shirt, and then suddenly I'm hugging my kids so they cover up my disgusting destroyed shirt. And then when I get to the Western Wall, so you tear corresponding to the heart. The custom in Jerusalem is that people don't tear, but really you should tear. That's what it says in the Mishnah, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So if you don't have a shirt that you could tear, so when you go to the Western Wall, wear someone else's shirt. So then you're not allowed to tear someone else's shirt. But technically, halachically, when you go the first time, you should tear it. Now what happens the second time you go? So then we say, anything halachic that involves sightings, something that you see, then for 30 days after you've seen it, it doesn't impress you. To the positive and to the negative. When you see something that's a terrible sight, like the destroyed temple, like the fact that they have a mosque up there, so it hurts you, but if you just saw it 2 days ago, you're not as hurt by it. If 30 days have passed that you haven't been to the Western Wall, so then again, the halacha applies of tearing one's shirt. And on the contrary, on things of rejoicing, so the same halacha applies. Let's say you're standing outside and there's a thunderstorm. So we know you make a blessing over lightning and you make a blessing over thunder. But in the same storm, you're not going to make another blessing because it's the same storm. It doesn't impress you too much. You see your good friend, so you make a blessing. Omer, Baruch Shechian v'kimhan v'gihanu l'zman hazeh. He makes a blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, that granted me life and kept me extant and brought me to this time. The blessing of Shechianu is a blessing you make when you're happy to see a friend. When are you happy to see him? When 30 days have passed that you haven't seen him. And haven't seen him means you don't know if he's alive. Doesn't mean you see him on Facebook, but you guys haven't spoken. If you know he's okay, you've been emailing, you've been talking on the phone, or whatever, you know he's okay, you don't make this blessing. For some reason, we Ashkenazim today lost this custom. This Gemara is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in the Codex. It is halacha, it is the way we're supposed to practice, but for whatever reason, our custom is we don't do it. The Yemenites do it. The Yemenites, if they haven't seen a friend in 30 days, and they see him, and they didn't know how he was doing, they make the blessing of Shehecheyanu. La'achar shnemasa chodesh, what happens if 12 months passed and you haven't seen him? So you don't know what's doing with this guy. I have guys like that from the Machon. I email them and they don't answer me. I send them letters and they don't answer me. And then after 3 years, they walk in here and say, oh, I'm alive. Oh, that's great. I'm very excited to see them. Say, well, after 12 months, you make a blessing. Baruch mechayem etim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who gives life to the dead. I thought you were dead. Now I know you're alive. Okay. Now, it has to be that he's your friend. By me, after a guy doesn't answer me for 12 months, I start wondering if he's still my friend. I don't know. But okay, whatever. At any rate, the halacha says, if you see your friend after 30 days that you haven't seen him and you had no contact with him, you make a blessing of Shehecheyanu. And after 12 months, you make a blessing of Mechayem Etim. And both these blessings are said with Hashem's name. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the world. Boch ta Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehecheyan v'kiman v'igyan l'zman hazeh, or Mechayem Etim. And again, us Ashkenazim, we don't say this with God's name. That's the custom today. I don't know why. Amar Rav. Who is Rav? Rav was the disciple of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So let's organize things a little bit. What year is it on the Jewish calendar today? 5771. That means that 5,771 years ago the world was created, right? Or 5,772 almost, right? The world was created. In the year 1948 from creation, 1,948 years from creation, Abraham was born. In the year 2000 from creation, when Abraham was 52 years old, he discovered monotheism. He realized there was a God. And then we, after the first 2,000 years where the world had no spiritual leader, we enter the second 2,000 years where the world has a spiritual leader. From Avram, from Abraham, from the beginning of the patriarchs, we enter a period of 2,000 years. The Jews spend 400 years in Egypt. Well, not exactly, but at any rate, in the year 2448, the Jews leave Egypt. And in 2448, the Jews leave Egypt. And in the year 2488, they enter the land of Israel. When they enter the land of Israel, they are under the guidance of Joshua. And then after Joshua passes away, we have the period of the judges. At the end of the period of the judges, we have Samuel, the prophet, who appoints our first king, King Saul. And then after he dies, we have King David, whose son King Solomon erects the first temple. And then we have the period of the kings. In King Solomon's son's time, in Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon, in his time, so then the kingdom is divided, where the southern tribes are under a Judean king and the northern tribes are under the Israelite kings, and their capital is in Samaria, Shomron. And then we run through the period of the first temple till the destruction of the first temple. And the prophet Jeremiah composes Lamentations and the book of Jeremiah and the book of Kings. And the prophet Jeremiah prophesizes about the destruction and the Jews are exiled. First, the northern 10 tribes are exiled and they intermarry and they are lost. That's the first great Holocaust of Jewish history. You have millions of Jews intermarrying and lost in the nations. According to the Medrash, they were taken across a miraculous river called Sambatyon that shoots out rocks every day of the week other than Shabbos, and they're there, somewhere in some island in Africa across this river. But it's not so clear that that's what happened. One opinion is, Rabbi Akiva's opinion, others' opinion is that they intermarried. They were scattered among the nations. That's it. They're gone. So some of the 10 tribes remained in Israel, but the prime kingdom was Judea with the Kohanim, the priests, and the Levim, the Levites. And they were exiled to Babylon. The southern kingdom of Judea was exiled to Babylon. They spent 70 years in Babylon, during which time the story of Purim occurs. And then they are led back into Israel under the guidance of Zerubbabel, who is king, Ezra HaSofer, Sofer, during the period of the beginning of the Second Temple, the rabbis were called Sofrim. Literally, that means counters, because they took the laws of the Torah and they delineated them according to numbers. They said there are 39 prohibitive actions on the Sabbath. They took the laws of the Torah and they quantified them. So that's why the rabbis of that period were called Sofrim. And so, in the beginning of the Second Temple, Ezra comes back to the land of Israel. He finds the Jews in Israel leave their shops open on Shabbos. They intermarry. And Ezra has to make many fantastic institutions to keep Judaism the way it should be. He assembles a great assembly, and he is the head of that great assembly. And they are the men of the great assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Now, the men of the great assembly institutionalize Judaism. They compose the 18 blessings we make every day, the Shmona Esrei. They compose and compile the blessings, the way we make them over every fruit and vegetable and meat and everything else we eat. They arrange Judaism. They make it into an organized religion compared to what it was. Meaning, the first temple was a period where we went with the biblical laws. The second temple, the rabbis developed the rabbinic laws. So on Shabbos, they said, you're not even allowed to touch money. Forget doing business. They institute a concept of muktzeh. That's a rabbinic institution of the Second Temple. So Ezra and the men of the Great Assembly, they made tremendous institutions for Judaism. Judaism, the way we know it today, is based on their institutions. It's all the rabbinics that keep Judaism the way it is. So we have the beginning of the period of the Second Temple. During the period of the Second Temple, the people are almost always under the dominion of a foreign nation. Initially, it is the Persian Empire that allows us to build the Second Temple, and then they're overtaken by the Greeks, and then you have the period of the Hasmoneans, and they make a pact with the Romans, and the Hasmoneans, together with the Romans, in the whole story of Hanukkah, they kick out the Greeks, and then you have the Hasmonean period. The Hasmonean period devolves into a period of Gentiles leading the Jewish people, where the Hasmonean kingdom is overtaken by a slave named Herod. Herod was appointed a governor and a top officer in the Jewish army. And then Herod was taken to court. And although he should have been executed in the court for murder, but the king of the time, the Hasmonean king of the time, tells Shammai the elder, he tells him, come on, respect him. And Herod enters the court with all his soldiers so that the court won't dare touch him. And Shammai warns the Hasmonean king, you think you outdid me by letting your governor walk in here with the soldiers. You will pay the price for what you just did. And Shammai passes away, Shammai the elder, but Herod ultimately lives up to the prophecy of Shammai and kills out the whole Hasmonean family and takes over the throne. And from that moment onward, we enter a period of tremendous bloodshed, where Herod kills out the rabbis, and then Herod's kids murder one another. And you have the end period of the Second Temple was a period where whole cities were butchered by the kings, the Herodic dynasty. But during this period, we have the destruction of the Second Temple. But 100 years prior to the destruction of the Second Temple, we have the great sages Hillel and Shammai. And that is the period of Tanoim, the last 150, 200 years of the temple, and then another 100 years after the destruction of the temple, where we find ultimately Rabbi Yehuda Anasi compiles the Mishnah. He sees that the Jews are being scattered in the diaspora, and that the oral law is going to be lost if they don't write it down. And so he gets all the rabbis together. He's buddy-buddy with the Roman emperor, whose name was Antoninus. Antoninus used to come to Rebbe secretly to learn about Judaism. And Rebbe compiles the Mishnah. Rebbe has a few disciples. One of his disciples is Rav. And Rav is going to be the first generation of Amoraim, the first generation of the rabbis of the Talmud. And so now the Talmud is quoting Rav. Rav is that borderline generation where he can argue with the Tanoim, he can argue with the rabbis of the Mishnah, because he was of that generation too, but he was also already considered from the first generation of Amoraim as well, the first generations of the rabbis of the Talmud. So Rav tells us, "En amet mishtakech min alev," the deceased isn't forgotten from the heart, "Ela la'achal 12 chodesh," only after 12 months. For the first 12 months, you don't forget someone who passed. Shneimal, the verse says, "Nishkachti kemet milev, hayiti kichli oved." Now, this connects to what we said earlier. You didn't see your friend. It takes 12 months till you have that excitement that you make a blessing. Blessed is the one who gives life to the dead, because in your mind, you've already he's half dead in your mind. So what do we see today? We learned about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi outsmarting the angel of death. We learned about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that if you see your friend after 30 days that you haven't seen him, you made it a blessing of Shechiyonu. After 12 months, Mechaya Mesim. We learned who Rav was. We just did a quick overview of Jewish history down to Rav. And we learned that Rav said that you don't forget the deceased until 12 months pass.